I'm Chinee Ogwumike.
I'm Lisa Leslie, and we're very excited to tell you about our new podcast with Blue Wire, Front and Center.
Lisa and I are breaking down what's going on in our lives, in the world, and keeping it 100.
We're also learning from amazing guests as well, like Emmanuel Acho.
People that show love to me, I forever got their back.
Vivica A. Fox.
If the foundation isn't right, then the rest of it's going to go wrong from there.
And more.
Subscribe to Front and Center today.
What a week 8, unbelievable finishes, controversial calls, and upsets with college football playoff implications. Welcome back to Prospects 101, the show where we break down football prospects from all levels, high school prospects, college transfers, college recruiting, NFL prospects, and the NFL draft. As always, Prospects 101 is brought to you by Blue Wire Pods and Bet Online. As always, you can interact with Prospects 101 on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. That's at Prospects 101 Pod. As always, the crew is here, full man show. We got all three of us back in the saddle, joined always by Brandon Pastel, Kenny Keller. What a day yesterday, fellas.
What a weekend, man. Big Ten and Mountain West come back. We have some great games. Like, just, I loved it. And we had more football on. And yesterday, what did I do at 10:30 p.m. Eastern time? I turned on the San Diego State game. Football after dark is back. I love it.
Gless, you know what I found out? Is life is a game of inches, and so is football.
Well, yes. Yeah, I mean, well, I would call it centimeters. I mean, that I'm sure we'll get into it a little bit as we got into it yesterday. But, you know, the Penn State game and that ending was something that I haven't really seen before. I mean, you're talking centimeters. And, you know, I think we're, you know, I wouldn't say we're on opposite sides of the coin, but I felt like they got completely hosed. I don't know how you can call that a touchdown. I get the call in the field was a touchdown. I still think there was enough to overturn it. But I tell you what, Tom Allen better not go within 100 miles of State College or he might end up in a body bag somewhere. Now, he is not a popular man in that part of the country. All right, guys, let me get into some scores from yesterday. Again, action-packed day with the Big Ten and the Mountain West back. So, first, Friday night, Wisconsin takes care of business, gets revenge 45-7 over Illinois, dominated early and often. Northwestern takes care of Maryland. Maryland, pretty awful. We'll get into them later. Northwestern beats them 43-3. LSU really lays the hammer on South Carolina 52-24. This one kind of took me back. I thought it'd be a lot closer than it was. Texas Tech takes care of West Virginia 34-27. Notre Dame really showed up against Pitt, number 3, being the third ranked team in the country, beats Pitt 45-3. Penn State, as we see it, gets upset by Indiana 36-35 in overtime. Texas takes care of business against Baylor 27-16. Iowa State, Oklahoma, that was a big matchup in the Big 12. Oklahoma State beats Iowa State 24-21. Backdoor score really got Kenny irked yesterday, but it happens. Bama takes care of business against Tennessee, 48-17. Coastal Carolina, the fighting Kenny Kellers, take care of business, 28-14 in one of their biggest games of the season. UNC, NC State, a rare battle where they're both ranked, but UNC takes care of business, 48-21. Cincinnati, number 9th ranked, the Cincinnati Bearcats takes care of business against SMU, 42-13. And maybe, before I get to it, Michigan also completely dominated Minnesota in all three phases of the game, 49-24. And maybe the biggest game of the day, at least the biggest game on this podcast, Wake Forest upsets the 19th ranked Virginia Tech Hokies 23-16. Quick reactions about what happened yesterday, fellas.
I don't even want to go into that last comment, but I will say I think Wisconsin has found their quarterback in Graham Mertz. This quarterback went 20 for 21, 248 yards, and 5 TDs. And honestly, that should have been a perfect 21 for 21. The guy dropped the ball. That being said, Wisconsin might be the real deal because they haven't had a quarterback really with this type of talent that I can ever remember. Jalen Waddle, I am sorry to hear and sorry to see you break your ankle. I mean, that just sucks. Having a phenomenal year this year. Absolutely. Like number one and number two in most categories across the receiving board. Breaks his ankle, most likely out for the year. But he's still going to be a, you know, first or second round pick in next year's draft. Ole Miss can't find a way to win the game. They just can't do it. They just cannot find ways to win the game. They're in it in every single game. They're just, what, they're 1-4 right now? Just unbelievable. Tyloa is not Tua. He sucks. And so I was looking at this the other day or yesterday. I don't know if Army can play an easier schedule. They have played Middle Tennessee State, UL Monroe, Abilene Christian, the Citadel, UTSA, and Mercer. Those are their W's. And then the one tough game they've played was Cincinnati. And they, of course, they lost that game. Just unbelievable that Army had, you know, they rolled out a schedule like this.
Because nobody would play them, though. I mean, well, and that's kind of Army's deal. It's the same, you know, Navy has the – has the luck of being in a conference.
Well, in Army, you remember Army got kind of hosed because they're an independent. So a lot of their schedule went away because all the non-conference games went away for a lot of these conferences. So they're basically doing what BYU's doing and they're piecing a schedule along as they go. Like, hey, we'll take anybody who will play us because we want to play. But hey, it worked out for them because they just accepted a bowl bid to the Independence Bowl.
I saw that.
They're going to play a Pac-12 team in the Independence Bowl. So they're already bowl eligible. Who cares,
oh, my
man?
God. Unbelievable.
Love it.
Politics and sports. Play Mercer, UTSA. Get out of here. But to finish it up, Penn State loses a nail biter. Ohio State pulls away from Nebraska in the second half. And Michigan looked good. I mean, that's the biggest news that I saw yesterday. But the biggest is obviously the Penn State game. I mean, that game, Penn State, they should have won. Devin Ford should have took a knee a yard prior to the goal line and just iced it right there. Instead, they gave the ball back to one of the most dynamic and one of the QBs in the country that has just straight ice in his veins right now to come back and beat Penn State really single-handedly those last 5 minutes and then in overtime for Indiana. So big time weekend.
Yeah. It was my favorite weekend of the season so far because, hey, like Glessner said, Wake Forest beat a ranked Virginia Tech team.
Boom.
It was amazing. It was a great weekend. Personally, for me, I was excited. This is kind of like – this is the game I've had circled on my calendar all year. Like, every year when they play Virginia Tech, this is a huge game for me. You know, here's the Wake Forest was playing in the house all night last night. It was a great night. But overall, yeah, Pastel, I agree, man. You know, I think Wisconsin definitely found their quarterback. I want to see a little bit more. You know, it was against Illinois. Illinois lost a lot on defense last year from a team that went 6-6. It was bowl eligible. They were decent last year, but they did lose a lot. So I'd like to see him repeat that. But at first glance, it looks like they might have the real deal. And remember, he was a big recruit. It's not like this guy was, you know, some walk-on or anything like that. This was a high four-star recruit for Wisconsin. So excited to see what Graham Mertz can do moving forward. Gless, I thought you touched on it. LSU going out and dominating South Carolina was really surprising to me. I thought this had the makings of a game where, especially with Miles Brennan being out, that, you know, it was going to be like 52 to like 50 or, you know, 40 to 39. I did not expect LSU's defense to step up or really LSU to score 52 points. So that was impressive and a good rebound, an answer for Coach O and company. The Indiana game, fantastic. I mean, what a game. Back and forth all game. You know, Tom Allen goes for two, goes for the win on the road in Penn State. I mean, that was the right call. You know, you're on the road against a top 10 team and you're in double overtime. You can only go toe-to-toe for so long against those teams before they finally put you down for the count. So he went for the jugular, and controversially, yeah, they ruled it the 2-point conversion successful. I can see both sides of the argument. I think whichever way it was ruled, it was going to have to stay that way. I just didn't think there was enough to overturn it, in my opinion. And then, you know, what a shame UVA has no offense. Just what a shame, because
dude,
that defense,
their offense stinks.
Their offense, yeah, they do stink, so good. It's bad. I mean, they held Miami to 19 points yesterday. They flummoxed them on defense. Like, they And they just have no offense.
That quarterback looked like he was shot putting the ball. I texted Kenny at one point. I was like, they just look so unathletic. Like, this offense looks unathletic. It is unbelievable because their defense, to your point, Kenny, is solid. They have solid dudes on all three levels on that team. But that offense, god awful.
That's so bad. One of the worst in the country. And to wrap it up, Cincinnati, man, their defense is for real. That defense has Sunday talent littered throughout that whole defense, man. I'm very impressed with Cincinnati. Big first test, a big first win. Although I did say last week SMU was my biggest fraud in the top 25. I still stand by that. But Cincinnati, you got to hammer even fraudulent teams, and they did 42-13. So they're continued on, and that Tulsa date looms. That's the big game, in my opinion.
That's right. I'll touch on a couple things that you guys said. I don't think it could be kind of stated enough. I feel super bad for Jalen Waddle. He was having an outstanding season. And, you know, I've said it a couple of times on the podcast, and I'll probably kind of continue to say it. It's the best Alabama offense we've ever seen. And I'll argue anybody on that. Best receiving core, best offensive line. It could be debated the best running back. And I could see Mac Jones end up having a better season than Tua ever had. So it sucks because I think that Alabama, I even think without Jalen Waddle, they'll be fine because they got dudes there that can fill that spot. But I would like to see with Jalen Waddle in there in a national championship against Clemson and what Clemson would have to do on defense to even be competitive in that game, because I have my doubts whether they would be or not. So I think that one was interesting. Kenny, you touched on it. I feel bad for Penn State. I still think they got hosed. I kind of saw it from the beginning. I was like, I don't know if that's a score. I think that when you take screenshots, it's there. I get it. It's tough to overturn it, but I don't think it was a score. Michigan. When's the last time Michigan put up 49 points? Like a Michigan offense. I mean, that offense has been atrocious since Jim Harbaugh has been there. So interesting to see that. I think, you know, I'll get into Minnesota a little bit later. You know, those are a couple things that I saw that kind of stood out to me yesterday. But let's get into some stock market risers and fallers. Kenny and Pastel, who were some guys that you felt really improved their draft stock yesterday?
Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st.
Yeah, I thought Breece Hall, running back from Iowa State, looked phenomenal again this week. And it's kind of a guy, I've watched a lot of Iowa State football this year just because they've played in some pretty big games. And every week he does something like really well. And so I kept kind of pushing him off. I said, well, let me see if he can repeat it. And he has been absolutely phenomenal. Yesterday, no different. 20 carries, 185 yards, 9.3 yards a carry, one touchdown. You argue, why did you throw the ball 34 times with Brock Purdy when you had Breece Hall averaging 10 yards a carry against Oklahoma State? They probably would have won the game. But, I mean, he's 6'1", 200 pounds. He runs physical. He's got breakaway speed. He had a 70-yard touchdown run yesterday. I'm just very impressed with how he looks. If he keeps this up, he's going to play himself into that top five running back conversation. I just love the way he runs. Such a physical runner. My next guy, David Bell, the wide receiver at Purdue. You know, a lot of hype is given to Rondale Moore, and rightfully so, but he was out yesterday, so David Bell had to step up. What did Purdue? They went in and won. They beat an Iowa team 24-20, and David Bell had 13 catches, 121 yards, and three touchdowns. I mean, he was their entire offense yesterday, and Iowa knew it, and they still couldn't stop him. So really excited to see him continue picking up where he left off from a fantastic freshman season last year. Next guy, I watched a lot of this game. I know Pastel and I were texting back and forth a ton about it. Jarrell White, linebacker from Cincinnati, was all over the field yesterday. 13 total tackles, one sack, two tackles for loss, a quarterback hurry, one pass defended. I mean, he was just everywhere yesterday on a stacked Cincinnati Bearcat defense. He looked like the alpha male out there, had a really good game. Next guy I saw who I thought did really well yesterday, I watched a little bit of this game too, and I alluded to it earlier just a couple minutes ago, was Charles Snowden, edge rusher at a University of Virginia. Man, he was making plays and in the backfield all game yesterday. 3.5 tackles for loss, one pass defended, one sack, 8 total tackles. I mean, every time I looked up, he was involved in a play in the backfield and really was doing his best to keep that potent Miami offense at bay, which they did. They only held them to they only gave up 19 points. You know, if Virginia had an offense, they probably would have ran away with that game. So Charles Snowden, hats off, looked really, really dominant yesterday against a good Miami team and a borderline top 10 Miami team. My next guy was Glessner's boy, who Gless highlighted him as a player to watch before on our preview show, and that's Shaka Tony.
Shaka Tony was a stud yesterday.
He looked great, man. 2 sacks, 2 tackles for losses, 7 total tackles, 1 quarterback hurry was a big reason why Michael Penix was not comfortable at all in the pocket yesterday. Just looked really, really, really good. And my last guy, who I just want to give him a special shout out. He's not really a prospect, but he's a walk-on true freshman from my home state, just up the road from me, and that's Nick Anderson, a defensive back out of Wake Forest, who had 3 interceptions yesterday against Virginia Tech, including the game sealer at the end of the game. Just absolute phenomenal performance. Like I said, this kid has walked on as a true freshman, and he had 11 total tackles yesterday, 3 interceptions, and he's been doing it all year. Going to be on scholarship come spring. I love it. Go Deeks.
He'll probably transfer to Virginia Tech later. Don't worry. But I got to say, I am sorry, Rondale Moore. I'm pretty sure I just jinxed you as I made an Instagram photo of him Friday saying he can't catch COVID. It's supposed to be, you know, a metaphor of him being so fast. And it was like him stiff-arming COVID. And then it comes out like, I don't know, what was it, Kenny? 8 hours later that he was going to miss the game for unspecified reasons.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable, Pasto.
Yeah, I don't want to spread misinformation. I don't want to say he had COVID, but they didn't announce why he missed the game. And
right.
They immediately said he'd be back next week. So it was very – either he had an illness or it was just something very weird.
So I took it down from the page. But if that was case, I am sorry, Rondale Moore. I owe you one. I owe you a beer sometime. But as far as my risers, Khalil Shakir, this guy, I hyped him up this past week. I hyped him up in previous previews. He did nothing to make me think differently about him. This guy is the next Justin Jefferson. This guy is all over the place. He had 7 receptions, 123 yards, 2 TDs. He also had 34 yards rushing on 3 carries. And his longest carry was only like 12 yards. He was just getting 10 yards at a time after another. I mean, this guy is just so dynamic for that Boise State offense. So I am extremely excited to see what he does this whole year. And I can't see him going into his senior year. He's going to declare for the NFL draft after this. The next guy, Jake Ferguson. You finally get a quarterback at Wisconsin, right? So you're going to now be able to throw to a tight end and stretch the field. And that's what they did in that game. And Jake Ferguson was the beneficiary of that. I mean, he had 7 receptions for 72 yards and 3 TDs as a tight end in Wisconsin's offense. I think this guy is big time. He's a junior, but I can definitely see him starting to rise on the boards. The last guy I want to highlight is Tyshawn Falk, the middle linebacker from Rutgers. Yes, Rutgers, because one, they actually won a game.
Big two, win for them yesterday.
They actually won a Huge Big Ten win. Game. Like, and this guy was probably one of the reasons why. I mean, he's a senior. He was one of their most highly touted prospects, you know, 4 years ago as a four-star linebacker. But he had 12 tackles, four solo, two tackle for losses. If you and remember, last year he led, or he was third in the Big Ten in total tackles. So this guy has a history of being a good linebacker. But now you start seeing those pressures come. You start seeing those tackle for losses. And if Rutgers can be anywhere as good as what they were, you know, yesterday, like, they might squeeze out a few more wins. And I think this guy is the big reason why they might do so on defense.
Yeah, huge win for that Rutgers program and Greg Schiano. You know, Schiano's second time around here at Rutgers, see what's going to happen. But, I mean, who saw them beat Michigan State yesterday, which I have my own beef. I think that Mel Tucker by Michigan, that I think that hire is going to come back and bite them. I don't know. I wasn't really a big fan of his at Colorado, so I don't know how that's going to work, but interesting there. Just like we have risers, talk about some guys where their stock actually probably fell yesterday. So, Kenny, why don't we start with you? What are three guys that are or two guys that really stood out that, you know, really felt like didn't perform very well yesterday and kind of really hurt their NFL draft stock?
The wait is finally over. Football is back.
My soul cries out hallelujah.
You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Yeah, so for me, Brock Purdy, you know, this guy was talked about as a borderline, you know, could play himself into a day one pick. And then, you know, we were like, okay, well, in reality, he could be a day two pick, second round pick. I don't think he's either right now. He's had such a ho-hum season. What did he do yesterday? 19 for 34, 162 yards, 4.8 yards an attempt, Oof. One touchdown, one interception. I mean, he's just looked so plain Jane vanilla all season. His average per attempt is down last year from 8.4 to 6.8 an attempt. His completion percentage is down from 65 to 61. So not only is he attempting safer and theoretically easier to complete passes, but he's completing less of them. He just does not look good. I'm very disappointed in his performance this year. You know, especially, you know, what he building off of what he did his freshman season going into his sophomore year last year. But at this point, I think Brock Purdy needs to stay another year because he's going to need to rehab his stock. I think it's a mistake if he comes out this year. He is falling out of the day one and day two quarterback conversation for me personally. Another guy who I thought really hurt his stock yesterday after starting the season so unbelievably hot was Matt Corral. You know, last week he had six interceptions, awful game. And I was like, okay, like, I'm going to kill the guy a little bit on the show, but I'm not going to totally crush him. And then what does he do against Auburn? He goes out, throws in another two picks and just doesn't look good at quarterback to the point where, you know, you got Ole Miss fans clamoring for John Reese Plumlee again. So just an overall bad performance for Matt Corral in a game they could have won, which, by the way, and this is a little ad lib, you know who else has fallen in my opinion? SEC officials. They bailed out Auburn again yesterday.
This is twice now.
Did you see that?
Yes.
The guy, for anybody who doesn't know, on a kickoff, Ole Miss kicks the ball off, and the Auburn punter totally muffs it. Like, it hits off his fingers, goes into the end zone. He doesn't run after it. Ole Miss recovers it. They rule it a touchback, and then they didn't even review it when it clearly showed it hit his hand. That was a touchdown.
That was a touchdown, like, Ole Miss.
Absolutely incredible. Auburn giving another victory by SEC officials. I'm out on SEC officials. I hope they're not they're not one of the independent officials calling the playoff this year.
They've been terrible.
And then my last, you know, stock market fallers, Michigan State's defense. Woof. You give up 38 points to Rutgers, who hasn't won a conference game in 21 games. Get out of here. Michigan State stinks. They're awful.
That's awesome. I tell you what, though, stats are deceiving. And that's why the more and more I look at this tight end from SMU, Kylan Granson, I think, okay, he's always putting up these numbers. I mean, he had 68 yards yesterday versus Cincinnati, a very obviously well-renowned defense in college football, 4 receptions. But this is probably the first game I've watched SMU from start to finish. And this guy had like 5 drops. I mean, it was, he had probably more drops than he had receptions. It was unbelievable. So yeah, I guess when you get targeted, you know, 12 times a game and you end up with 70 yards and 4 receptions, it looks okay. But really, like, I was not impressed with Kylan Granson, the tight end out of SMU, when I used to think he was probably a 2nd, 3rd round pick. You just can't have that many drops. And you could tell he got a little nervous going over the middle, which I guess I would be too against that defense. The next guy, this guy reminds me a lot of Brock Purdy, Tanner Morgan, the quarterback out of Minnesota.
He stinks, coach. Yeah, I knew last year was say he was such a fraud.
I mean, so I think he had 197 yards, TD and interception. Michigan brought the pressure on him. And they brought the house on him every single game. So if you can't, you know, scheme around that, get the ball out quickly, like, yeah, you're going to struggle. And he did. And when you're playing from behind the way they were, there's just not a lot of success that can happen for Tanner Morgan in that Minnesota offense. So I think, yeah, he didn't look great. He looked erratic. I mean, me and Kenny were watching this and talking about it yesterday. Like, he was overthrowing some balls. He just wasn't looking sharp. He had some nice balls, but that probably is a product of, you know, having Bateman as your receiver, because that dude's a stud, by the way. He still had 100 some yards.
He looked good yesterday.
But Tanner Morgan just didn't look sharp. I'm not going to say he's fallen that much. It just sucks from the first game. He looked very erratic, more or less. All right, and then Hendon Hooker. I mean, I was just not impressed with him at all. He was 17 for 33, 223 yards, a TD, 3 picks, a 49.7 QBR, and just watching it, he was so inaccurate. I mean, so inaccurate. I don't care he had 98 yards rushing. I don't care that he makes that offense, I guess, more dynamic than Burmeister. If you can't throw the football, especially when you're down in games, I mean, we've got to find another quarterback there that can get us out of these ruts, because we just can't run the ball, you know, 50 times a game and expect to beat everybody, especially when you're playing down for most of the game. And with Hendon Hooker not being able to throw consistently, like that's going to be Achilles heel of Virginia Tech for the rest of this year. So I'm down on Hendon Hooker right now. We got to figure that out for Virginia Tech.
Yeah, Virginia Tech's quarterback situation seems to be very dicey. All right, guys, let me give you three guys or units that stunk up the place yesterday in my He Stinks Coach segment. Giving up 250 yards of rushing, close to 500 yards of total offense to Michigan. Michigan has been terrible on offense since Jim Harbaugh's been there. And Minnesota basically let Michigan do whatever they want. That game was over from the start. Minnesota's defense, they stink, coach. They are not good. And they better get it together or they're going to be very lackluster in the Big 12 or in the Big 10. Another guy who, like, stinks on ice. One, I think Pitt stinks in general. I think they're awful. And they had been the biggest fraud starting out 4-0 or whatever they were. But Joey Yellen, their quarterback yesterday, went 12 for 33 with 3 picks, whoa, no touchdowns, and a QBR of 20. He stinks on ice. Terrible. I mean, you know what? I think Pitt is the most overrated football program in the country. And if you lose to Pitt, you stink too. I mean, they're terrible. And then my last He Stinks coach, Talia Tagovailoa. A lot of hype, get transferring to Maryland, Mike Locksley, all of that. Not only does Maryland get dominated, but Talia also stinks, coach. 94 yards of passing, 3 picks. Maryland's total offensive output yesterday, 205 yards, and he had a QBR of 28. Maryland, you know what? They stink, coach. They're terrible. What I really want is you know, we have bowl games for really good teams. I want a bowl game for really bad teams.
Toilet bowl.
I want a toilet bowl. I want an 8-team style playoff. Have like Syracuse, Maryland. Really? Vanderbilt. Kansas has got to be in there. All really bad P5 programs. They're the only ones that are eligible. Maryland may win that because they stink, coach. They're terrible.
I tell you what, though, their backup, Legendre, he's a true freshman there, a redshirt freshman, one of the two. He came in and went 4 for 4 and threw for like 50 yards. Like, he was the best sign of any type of offense they had on that team. So watch out for him taking Talia's job maybe sooner than later.
Yeah. Well, yeah. 205 yards of total offense, not going to get it done. I can tell you that. They ain't going to win. I tell you, Maryland may not win a game this year. I actually thought that they could have been competitive in the North against Northwestern.
Nope.
But not at all. All right, guys, got some rapid fire for you. Current Heisman vote after week 8.
Zach Wilson. I'm all in. I'm all in on the BYU train. I'm all in on the Mormon Johnny Manziel. Let's go.
They don't play anybody. That's the bad part for them.
But I don't care. He's electric to watch.
I'm going
to
go Najee Harris. This guy has almost 600 yards rushing already, 14 TDs. That is unbelievable right now.
Yeah, it was between Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence for me. I like Najee Harris. I've watched a lot of his touchdowns. A lot of his touchdowns are basically a yard or two out. I think that team goes as Mac Jones goes. Mac Jones has looked so good. Looks like Joe Burrow out there. I'm going Mac Jones is my Heisman vote today.
Wow, Joe Burrow. Dang, that's a statement right there, Glenn.
He is looking so good out there.
Say it with your chest.
That's it, man. Most fraudulent undefeated team in the top 25.
Oklahoma State. They won. I mean, they're winning, so you can't say too much about them, but they're winning ugly, and I think they're just benefactors of being in the Big 12.
Yeah.
I don't trust Texas A&M. I don't trust Jimbo Fisher. I don't trust Kellen Mond.
Yeah.
Yes,
well, they're not undefeated either.
Oh, this is undefeated. I thought just most fraudulent. Okay, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, well, you could do most fraudulent team in the top 25. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm going to go Texas A&M then, just because I don't think they're a top 10 team. I mean, and we're going to see it, but they're going to lose two more games this year.
I think everybody in the Big 12 is a fraud, so I'm going to Oklahoma State as well. I have been very unimpressed at Chuba Hubbard, and I think he is going to be a day two, now a day three pick with the season that he's having. He's looked terrible.
Wow. Glasses
prediction. Bold prediction.
Am I wrong? He has looked awful this season.
Yeah.
I mean, every game that he's supposed to come out and play big, it's 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I feel like I haven't seen big plays. There's no explosiveness. And that Oklahoma State offense, not very good either.
I will say he had a good game yesterday. I mean, he ripped off like 34 yards.
Not a day one or day two game, though. That's not what day one, day two picks do.
Well, I agree with you, Kenny. I agree with you, Glass. Like, he's got to do it more consistently.
Yeah.
But they finally had Sanders back at quarterback, and you kind of just show like more of a balanced offense shows what he can do. Because I think he had 140 yards rushing. Like, he looked good yesterday, but that's the first time that whole offense has been back together.
Yeah, I'll say this. I think he's definitely played himself out of first round.
Yeah, I agree with that.
For sure. I wouldn't go as far to say second, because I wouldn't be surprised if he was a second or third round pick. But he's definitely fallen out of the first round. You were right there, Glenn.
I mean, it's only ETN. It's only probably Najee Harris at this point, right? That's first round caliber players.
Yeah. Oh, you know who's on the Etienne train, by the way?
Who?
Riley Bradshaw.
Ooh, our old co-host.
Our former co-host of XFL
Talk.
He
loves Etienne. Yeah.
Him and I went out and having a couple beers, watching some of the late night games last night, and he was like, Miami Dolphins have 2 picks. I want Travis Etienne so bad. all right, most undervalued team right now.
Chance up, baby. Coastal Carolina. The Chanticleers, dude. I love it. They won again yesterday without their starting quarterback, without their star. They still won 5-0. That November 21st matchup with App State is looming large.
I'm going to go Bearcats, even though I know they're probably going to be ranked probably 8th in the AP polls this upcoming week. But I think that is a top 5, if not a top 3 defense in all of college football. And that's – I don't care what conference you are. And I think – I told Candace yesterday as well, I think we're going to look back on this team and we're going to probably see 8 players playing in the NFL at some point. That defense is legit.
I'm going to go BYU. I think they're undervalued because of the schedule they play. If they played a true Mountain West schedule or even a P5 schedule, I still think that they'd be close to being undefeated. I think they're that good. I think BYU is undervalued right now. All right, guys, rounding it up, does Penn State have a chance to beat – the Death Star in Ohio State next week?
No, because of Sean Clifford.
I say yes. I think they still got dudes. Can I say something real quick, though? I think we're not giving enough praise or analyzing the decision of the biggest factor of what that Indiana-Penn State game was, and that was the ref. If you're the ref in that situation and you have the whole entire crowd, the whole entire state of Indiana waiting for you to do one thing, and that's throw up the hands, like, what did you do? Especially when it's that close. I throw up my hands too because they went nuts when he did that. Like, you got to throw them up. I don't blame the ref anymore. That's what I would have done.
Well, I blame the ref because he made the wrong call, but that's okay. No. You know, I have here no. I'm going to change mine to yes. I do think they have a shot because I think that they're decent on defense. I think they're good enough on offense to hang in there. I think a turnover or two, they have a chance to beat Ohio State. I still think Ohio State's going to win. But if you're asking me if they have a chance to beat them, yeah, I think they have a chance. So, as always, you can follow and interact with the show on social media. That's at Prospects101Pod on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Please make sure that you subscribe to Prospects 101 on your favorite podcast platform. That's the easiest and best way to stay up to date. The show downloads podcasts right to your phone. Whatever your favorite podcast platform is, we're on it. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Google Play, you name it, we're on it. For Kenny, for Pastel, I'm Gless. We will see you next week to preview week 9.